on a permitting scheme to regulate wedding venues having regard to other jurisdictions where such permitting schemes have been implemented.
Do you have that, Madam Clerk? Do you have that in written form or something?
Yep, I can email it.
Okay. Like right now?
Yes.
Wow.
Right now.
I'd have to write it out.
Through you, Mr. Chair, could I please have a copy? Thank you.
So are you able to put it up on the screen then, Madam Clerk? Is that where we're going here? Okay. See, if I had my handwritten copy, you could put it on the copier and boom. Just saying. Yeah, why, good question. Why is it GG and not planning and development? Is that purposive on your part?
Well, because the motion speaks to staff, and it's my understanding that this would really fall under bylaw and the clerk's department rather than planning, since it would be a permit issued by the clerk's department that they would be applying for. But I stand corrected, and I'm certainly happy to take direction from staff on this if they feel it'd be more appropriate for it to come back to planning on June 17th.
How about a committee meeting in June?
Date was June 10th.
No, a committee. In other words,
got it. Okay.
We wouldn't specify sure. Now which committee.
Okay.
It wouldn't go to council. Councillor Zwart?
If I speak to it now, can I speak to it later when the motion's actually on the screen?
Why don't you hold off and then. So is it officially been emailed to Councillor Trail? Okay. Any more comments to that, Councillor Trejo? Or you can wrap up, of course. Councillor Zwart, do you wish to speak to it now?
Yes. So if there are no other jurisdictions with this type of permitting scheme, what do you propose then?
So through the chair, I'm going to leave this in the hands of staff to come up with a permitting scheme. It's my understanding that the town of Caledon does have such a scheme in place, but I could have misread that. But I was reviewing some newspaper articles in which a permit scheme was put in place to regulate so-called barn parties. However, I trust that staff will come up with something, if they can't find a suitable existing precedent to regulate wedding venues.
Councillor Zwart.
I wonder if you would consider adding on this motion that Beth Mazzaro's delegation be sent to staff for a report on the issue she raised.
Yes, through the chair, I consider that a friendly amendment. If we can add that.
Just make an amendment.
Just amendment. Then. Okay. So I will second Councillor Zwart's amendment.
Okay. Thank you. So, Councillor Zwart, your amendment is, did you catch that, Madam Clerk?
Through the chair, so my understanding that Beth Mazzaro's delegation be forwarded to staff for a separate report, or do you expect it to be part of this report?
However staff wants to deal with it, I'm fine.
I think there's only the one matter, so it would form part of it.
Perfect.
Any other comments on the amendment? Now we're on the amendment, so any other comments, Councillor Zwart? On the amendment, Mayor Foster.
Well, thank you, and through you, Mr. Chair, and probably to Ms. Langmaid. Can't see you, but I know you're there. Ms. Langmaid, most of the, an awful lot of what we heard from Ms. Mazzaros today, you've already dealt with and answered. So that specific report, I'm assuming you can reuse a lot of what you've got without spending a lot of time on that?
What is being requested by the resolution that you have before you is a specific report on a permitting scheme. Permitting, as Councillor Traill has already indicated, is something that clerks and legal would deal with more than we would. We've already had a meeting to try to start to move that along.
But to the amendment that's in front of us, which is dealing with Ms. Mazzaros's delegation, which dealt with a number of planning issues, which you have dealt with already, that stuff is set and has already been put to paper, no?
Much of it has, through the chair, much of it has been put to paper. There are some items that are far beyond what zoning can control. And then there are the special event permit issues that she's also brought up.
Right, so I'm just trying to get a...
I could provide a letter to Ms. Mazzaros and CC all of council if that is your wish, or I could bring it back as a separate report.
No, I think the amendment is for a separate report, and I'm just trying to get a grasp on, as you point out, you've got planning issues, which I think you've dealt with, and I don't know if the councillors that moved and seconded the amendment are in agreement to this, if it falls to the other. I'm confused, Mr. Chair, just in terms of what the expectations are.
So can I get some clarification? You said about a separate report, but this, Councillor Ward, your amendment, it would make it part of one report. Is that correct or not?
Well, it matters not to me whether it's part of the permitting report or whether it's a separate report.
Can I suggest that maybe you reword your amendment as opposed to be included in the report, that it be part of a report? Because the first report might come back to the general government and the one from planning might come to this committee, right? So might get a little confusing otherwise. Does that make
I'm
sense?
Good with that. I'm okay. Included wasn't part of my original motion anyway.
Okay. Staff for a report. Yep, okay. All right. Foster, are you still the floor or?
Thank you, that clarifies things.
Okay, Councillor Anderson, I think.
Through the chair, I was just wondering, how does this impact current businesses that have these events that's going on right now?
We're just on the amendment right now. Yeah. We're just dealing with the amendment, and then we haven't gotten to the main motion yet. So any questions on the amendment, and then I'll go back to you on the...
Yeah, but it does, the amendment does impact that going forward, and I don't know if you can separate both, but... That's
fair
okay.
Enough. Yep. Okay. So do you want to, who are you directing that to, Mr. Councillor Anderson? To staff in general?
Yeah.
Okay. Seaman, can you take that one?
Through Ms. Langmaid, there was a question in terms of how the...
How would it impact existing businesses,
the impact
right?
on existing businesses.
I don't believe it would particularly impact existing businesses. There are only two existing businesses that are zoned for wedding venues in Clarington, and only one of them is hosting wedding venues.
Okay.
So how would it impact the one that's currently hosting wedding venues? I need an answer.
Well, the
to
report
that.
Won't affect the one that is hosting the wedding venues. What might affect the one that is hosting the wedding venues is if a permitting scheme comes into place, but that is consultation that we would do as part of the trying to answer the whole overall question.
Yeah, okay, that's fine, because I believe in leveling the playing field, so it they would have to be taken into consideration when this is done. Thank you.
Councilor Hooper.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think my question was kind of answered in a roundabout way with Councilor Anderson's question.
Okay. Councilor Trail, I'll go back to you. Okay, so on the amendment, all in favor of the amendment? Nobody opposed? Okay, that's carried. On the main motion now, Mayor Foster, as amended.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. So for clarification, if we pass this motion, we are not asking staff if they can do this, if we can do this, if we should do this. We're just telling staff to go out and do it. The intent is coming back in June that we're moving forward with licensing. We're not looking for advice from staff. It's telling them to do it.
Is your question to the mover?
Yes, I.
Okay, so that's to you, Councilor Trailing.
Sorry, that's not what the motion says. It's a report back on how it would be done. I think it helps if it would be back up on the screen now, but I've got it here. And again, this is to work in consultation with all stakeholders, including the Matthews family and the Mizaros, the residents on Morgan's Road, to come back with a report outlining a permitting scheme, and so this will give them an opportunity to come back with a recommendation. It's not necessarily saying that we have adopted that scheme or voted in favor of that scheme. The ultimate decision will rest with members of council, and I believe that timeline is reasonable to come back with a proposal.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. But just to be, you know, entirely to understand what we're doing, it would be a potential scheme. Your intent is not that council are going to go away and perhaps create something that no one else is using, perhaps Caledon or not. You understand my fear that, so this is a potential scheme, but this is not a new regiment that we are anticipating is going to be put in place. So staff might come back and say it's a bad idea.
Through the chair, it's up to members of committee or council to decide if they want to proceed with the report.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Chair, to the clerk, you know, there's been, you know, some discussions of business licensing. We've always stayed away from that. I'm worried about a can of worms that we might be opening, you know, even in starting this and where you end up speaking, Ms. Langmaid, I guess if it's one wedding venue, but you worry about the path that we're wandering down. Can you provide us with, either one of you, with any insight as to where we might find ourselves going?
Through the chair, this is something that was sort of sprung upon us today, but I think that we would have to be mindful of the fact that there's already a type of permitting through the special permit process, where if it's private property and there's more than 500 people, there's a whole raft of a checklist that there's a lot of involvement that happens. So this wouldn't necessarily be that, but it might be something like that. And I think the only way for that to happen would be to explore it with staff. And it includes fire, it includes engineering, it includes planning. This wouldn't be just either the same as somebody else or the same as something we already have. It's something that would have to be considered, because you wouldn't necessarily want to have to go through that process for, oh, here's a wedding this week and here's a wedding this week. That might become too burdensome for the person that needs to have it. Then you have to balance that with planning has already got regulations in terms of land use. That's how the two spots have already gotten approved. So there's somewhere in between, I think, is what Ms. Mazaros is looking for, and whether that works for Clarington, we'd have to explore it.
Okay, well, thank you. Well, it sounds as if you're looking to explore, but my very real concern is exactly what you described, that there are a couple of decisions that, to my mind, we have made where we've pulled out a great big wad of red tape, and I'd be very concerned moving forward that we're doing exactly that and might really have, again, consequences that we don't anticipate. Thank you.
Yep, sure.
Through the chair, if I could just add, if council could be, if committee could be clear on what the goal of it is. So are we regulating it to protect the residents? Are we regulating it to protect the use of the land? What is it that we're trying to do differently than, for instance, the existing one that has already been regulated? I guess that would be helpful to staff.
So through the chair, I think when staff start looking at other municipalities who already have rural property bylaws in place with respect to permitting for special events, that will inform staff. But if ultimately the goal is in fact to protect residents, as well as to ensure that as we continue to grow, that we have consistent guidelines with parameters regarding how many of these events we are going to be permitting, the times for them, ensuring that their uses are, you know, consistent with the neighboring areas, and ultimately to give some level of confidence and the ability to regulate this as we move forward and possibly see more wedding event venues opening up, especially in the rural wards.
And we certainly want to keep a close eye on wedding events. I agree. Councillor Hooper.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and through you. My problem is, and I understand that somebody's probably researched this under the Caledon plan, and I wondered if the plan that they have in place is specific to wedding events, or does that include any events? For example, I can think of a couple that weren't weddings that were hosted in farmers' fields. And I just wonder, is this to deal with specific wedding venues or just venues? Talk about getting into the weeds, I'm getting into the fields, how's that?
Through the chair, I'm happy to amend the motion to say event venues, because you are correct. And actually just looking at it, the issue that that made the news in, and it was the town of Wilmot, where they had barn parties. So yes, exactly, so I'm happy to amend the wording to say event venue, but I think staff is clear on what we're looking at, which would be.
Okay, so are you putting a motion on the floor to amend?
Unless staff is
well, you'd have to amend
can
it.
Understand.
Otherwise,
Mr. Chair, can I ask?
Sure, you still got the floor, Councillor.
Can I ask our CAO to make a comment on regards to this?
At the risk of trying to simplify but perhaps complicating things, we already have a bylaw that deals with events. It's a special event bylaw. The threshold there is an event that has more than 500 people. And I think that's what the deputy clerk was referring to in terms of the existing regulatory framework we have. We will have regulations in place through land use planning to deal with agritourism and wedding uses that may or may not be part of agritourism. So if I'm understanding the discussion, we're looking at an added level of regulatory restrictions on agritourism uses, in particular weddings. If you take away the wedding, just make it venues, that's the existing special event bylaw. And you might as well just eliminate the the 500 person threshold and say that's what applies. And it has a long list of regulatory requirements for those events. I think I understand what the direction of council is. There's two things. There's the land use planning for agritourism uses, and that's gonna go through a process. Zone Clarington has been on the go for some time, and there will be a process that will result in council determining what the land use planning policy should be. What I'm hearing is that you want to hear whether it's possible to add another layer of regulation to this specific type of use through, it is a type of special event bylaw, but it's a very narrowly defined special event. It's weddings that might be permitted through agritourism. The first threshold would always be for such a bylaw, by the way, that it meets land use planning permissions. So you would have to go through a planning process, or it would have to be recognized as a use. We don't have existing as of right wedding venue permissions. So you'd have to get that permission. And then on top of that, there would be a regulation to say, there's these other things we want to regulate. And the Ontario Municipal Board decision actually pointed out the fact that through land use planning, you can regulate certain things, but there were other parts of the operation of a wedding venue that you can't regulate through land use planning. So what I'm hearing is it possible to have a regulatory bylaw that deals with those discrete issues that can't be dealt with through land use planning, but might want to be factored into somebody's ability to have a wedding venue in the agricultural area. And so that's what I'm taking from this resolution. I think it's fine. If you actually just restrict or you take it away from wedding venues and talk venues, that opens up a very large basket of potential issues.
Okay, so I'll make
a
motion.
You want to leave it as is?
I'll make a motion to amend it to remove the word wedding.
I think the suggestion was it was fine as it was, though. I think that's what I heard. Yeah.
Okay.
It is amenable? I don't know. I thought the CAO was saying that he thought it was fine the way it was worded.
I would prefer that it stays that way, because if you're talking about venues, you're regulating venues or regulating any sort of special event. I take whatever the wording is, I know that you're looking for additional regulation on land uses that are agritourism permitted, but you need another layer of regulatory controls, because land use planning can only take you so far. That's what I'm taking from the conversation, as opposed to expanding the parameters of the current special event bylaw to deal with the parties that Councillor Hooper was talking about in the fields and other types of uses in the agricultural area.
Thank you. That was the explanation I was kind of looking for. I didn't want it to just segregate, you know, make sure that we're okay with just that. That's all.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks, Mr. CEO.
Any other councillors wish to weigh in? Mayor Foster, second time around?
Yes, please.
Motion for second time around. Councillor Zwart, seconded by Councillor Anderson, all in favor. Ms. Carrot.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So again, just for clarity, while we're talking wedding venues, it wouldn't just be weddings and events, pardon me. Okay, well, Madam Clerk, so my challenge with event venues is, I'm not trying to be difficult, but do we walk down a path where golf courses now, if they host an event with more than 200 people, Mosport, I'm thinking they've got a degree of protection with the zone that they're in, but without tightening this up, again, I'm just worried about that can of worms that we open. And is there enough of a distinction in the zoning in ag that we're not going to find ourselves catching a bunch of legitimate, I'm going to call them legitimate venues, suddenly they're jumping through hoops. Ms. Langmaid, I'm going to look at you to.
Through the chair. I believe that what you are looking for is permits that would deal with events that are held on farms that in some ways may not be related to agriculture. So weddings is one of them. However, if it was a twilight meeting, which is a gathering of the dairy farmers where they judge cattle, have a barbecue, and do a tour through somebody's barn and can have 250 people at it, that is not something that you're looking to catch. That's my interpretation.
So respectfully, Mr. Chair, I've heard about those dairy farmers, and thank you for that clarification.
Okay, any other councillors? Councillor's work.
To Mayor Foster's earlier comment, the residents are concerned that they are the ones that are going to be monitoring the situation. If the party is loud and if it goes, over 11 o'clock, it's up to them to call bylaw. And is bylaw coming out there on a Saturday night? So that's what the concern is.
Okay, anybody else? Well, I count, I think, three venues that I'm aware of where they host weddings. So at least two. One is very busy on Taunton Road almost every weekend. So how would they not be caught by a permitting scheme? I'm thinking of a certain restaurant on
Through
Taunton
the
Road.
Chair.
That's basically all their business now, as opposed to the regular restaurant.
I believe the venue you're talking about on Taunton Road is actually zoned commercial.
Okay, but how is a commercial zoned, to Mayor Foster's point, how is it any different if it's commercially zoned? Like if they're holding a wedding, if you have a regulatory scheme involving weddings, how do you accept anybody from that?
Through the chair, I think you are getting a very clear picture of how difficult it is for staff to grapple with this issue. So we will bring you back a report, and you can then grapple with this issue.
I think I'll be doing a lot of grappling. Grappling, yeah. Well, I just don't think we can target, like, bylaws have to be of general application, right? Is that not a fundamental principle of bylaws? Like, you can't regulate a specific property with a bylaw. That's always been my understanding. I mean, otherwise it can be challenged, right? Like, doesn't it have to be municipal-wide? So how can you say it's for wedding venues on this specific piece of property?
Through the chair, it goes back to what the CAO said earlier, is that we would be looking at a special event bylaw on agritourism-zoned land. That's
okay, and then obviously an opinion would be offered as to whether that would be valid or not, I guess, as part of that.
We've already met with our
They can grapple with
counsel.
That. Okay,
they're grappling.
Okay, call the question. All in favor? Anybody opposed? That's carried. Thank you. Next delegation is Paul and Kathy Powers, 8.2. Come forward, please. Welcome. Yeah, there you go.
And do we just push the right arrow to make the picture stuff here? Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Mayor Foster, councillors, and staff, thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today and present our perspective on the proposed transfer of our property to the municipality. We purchased our property 28 years ago and raised our three children, who you may have met tonight. We purchased this property because of its country setting on a beautiful ravine lot where our children could play and explore safely. As long as we have been here, we have cared for and improved our property, knowing that it was our greatest investment. We purchased it from the original owners, the Fosters, who built the home. And the original fence that is approximately 15 feet from the edge of the creek is still there. This has been the property line and buffer for the past 70 years, with no concerns ever being expressed from the town or Cloca. In 1994, we put an addition on the back of our home with Cloca's approval. And at that time, they stated that no development could take place in the ravine. We understood that, and we have honored that request. When we began this process to sever a 60-foot lot from the west side of our property, we were told at the pre-consultation meeting that there was a potential for the town to take more land surrounding the creek as an added buffer. But that it would in no way change our use of the property. In every report that has been filed during this lengthy process from CLOCA, MNR, environmental surveys, and others, all noted that the lot to be severed had no impact at all on the CLOCA side of the lot, and that our proposed lot is consistent with the provincial policy statement. This should have been a simple, straightforward permit request. Instead, it has been 20 months of surveys, fees, and reports, and we are now carrying thousands of dollars of debt waiting for the permit to be approved. I was present in November when we walked the east side of the property to establish the top of the ravine. I understood that this was for mapping purposes. I did not understand that this large area was being considered hazard land that would be requested to be transferred. We have witnessed 28 springs with high rushing water from the snow melts and heavy rain. Never has the creek breached its bank or come anywhere near what is now being proposed to be hazard land. In January, we were notified that there was still one more report we were waiting on from the Ministry of Natural Resources proposing these new boundaries and buffers. The southeast corner of our property is the only area that is within the wetland complex, so we expected that that portion might be transferred. But we were completely overwhelmed to read that the planning department wanted to rezone one-third of our property as hazard lands. This includes the land from the east property line where we are standing in this picture, up to the top of the hill, which is over 70 feet from the property line, and then a further 18-foot buffer beyond that, which would be fenced to restrict trespassing. The yellow tape shows about where that 18-foot buffer and subsequent fence would be. As you can see, this is an extreme amount of property and nothing that we would have ever foreseen. What is most frustrating is that this requirement was not brought to us until the 11th hour of this transaction, after 20 months and tens of thousands of dollars having been invested in the process. If we had been told at the pre-consultation meeting that there was a potential for the town to take a third of our property and put a fence beside our house, that would have been the end of our inquiry. This is a deal breaker for us. The cost is just too high. In section 11.3 of the report, it reads, where a property contains a feature and its associated buffers, the municipality can seek to protect and enhance the feature. This can be achieved by establishing the limits of the environmental protection zone and appropriate buffers, prohibiting development within these areas. It can also be achieved by transferring the lands to the municipality. This means that council has a choice. You do not have to transfer the land ownership, or at least not such a large portion of the property. We respectfully request reconsidering the boundaries being established here. We propose that the MNRF line delineating provincially significant wetland as the new boundary. This would seem a reasonable protection for the wetlands and has less impact on us. This boundary would also be more reflective of the property surrounding us to the north and south instead of making our property the exception. We also request that the need for a fence be removed. Nowhere along the west side of Old Varco Road is any part of the wetland fenced. Putting a fence on our property will only impact us and do nothing to practically protect the wetland. In closing, we want to thank Councillor Joe Neal and Janice Jones for their interest, phone calls, and time working with us and the planning department to seek a solution that works for everyone. Also to the other councillors who responded to our letters, we greatly appreciate your time. Respectfully, Paul and Kathy Powers.
Okay, Mayor Foster.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. and Mrs. Powers, thank you. So that was your daughter that spoke to us earlier?
Yeah.
And she wasn't prepared to speak?
No, she wasn't.
She did a pretty amazing job.
Yeah, thank you.
And apparently it's all about Lawson Road tonight. Go figure.
Yeah, this is Lawson Road night.
So Mr. Powers, a recommendation came out. Councillor Neal had a meeting with the Director of Planning, and the suggestion in that recommendation is that the lands to be dedicated be limited to those lands up to the top of bank. Have you seen that? Has that been communicated to you?
Yes, briefly.
Okay. So based on that, I know it's still more than what you were hoping for, but can you live with that?
Would there be no fence associated with that?
Well, we might get to a chat about that later. So I'm sure that'll come up in dialogue.
It's certainly not our ideal position. We are prepared to be flexible. We understand the process. I think we understand it. We've had a crash course in land division schooling, but we're prepared to work to that end. The other request that we have is that we get this moving quickly. This has been a long time, and it's been a very stressful thing for us. So yes, the answer, short answer is yes.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Jones.
Thank you very much for your presentation, and through the chair. So you do not want a fence. Is there something that we could work on there? Would a possibility of a hedge or some kind of bushes to mark where the line is, but keep it more natural looking, would that be something that you would consider?
Yes.
Or how about just staking it? Like we said before, we always understood that it was...
Can you just speak into the microphone?
Oh,
I can't quite hear you.
We always understood that that land was not to be developed, and we never did. We've just mowed the grass, and so putting a fence or a marker only is going to tell us where the property line is. The rest of the neighborhood would have to trespass onto our front yard to ever get to that line. So like Paul said in the presentation, nowhere on Ovarco Road on the west side is there any fence delineating Cloaca land. So what is the purpose of putting a fence on our personal property just to let us know where it is, I guess is our point.
Okay, any other councillors? Councillor Jones, do you want to make a motion? Oh, Councillor Anderson, do you have your hand up?
No.
Okay. Councillor Jones, do you wish to make a motion?
I do.
Okay, so thanks very much.
Thank you. Okay.
Do you want me to make that now?
Sure.
So this would be from the memo that was out from Planning Services this afternoon, that the recommendations for PSD-021-1946 Lawson Road, Curtis, be as written here. But for number three, I was hoping to make an amendment so it would read that the lands be dedicated to the municipality of Clarington to be limited to those lands up to the top of bank, but also to be divided by a non-chain link fence such as a hedge.
Seconder on that? Mayor Foster.
I think suspending the rules was in the front of that, right?
No, to deal with, I think we can move a motion on the delegation. So.
I think we'd need to alter the agenda to deal with. Because it is on the agenda.
Okay, so motion to suspend the rules.
Yeah, I think that was included already.
Okay. Well, we should vote on that.
All right, sure. So
moved by Councillor Hooper, seconded by Councillor Jones. Motion to suspend the rules. All in favor? To alter the agenda, that's carried, thank you. Just on that though, the other one we didn't have to suspend the rules and there was a report from Mr. Seaman, so I'm a little confused. Maybe we need a further explanation on that. We didn't on, anyway, I won't belabor that, but
talk to you later.
I need to get some clarification on that because I don't understand why we had to suspend in one and not the other. Okay, Mayor Foster, you have the.
I think Councillor Jones, did you? You took the motion from Councillor Jones in terms of the, so is the motion on the floor now? Okay, perfect. So just a question, so I support the motion. Thank you to yourself and to staff for doing what they did. In terms of a hedge instead of a fence, Mr. Seaman, I appreciate the need for fences and, you know, we've seen it so many times to protect the area. In this case, you'd have a chunk of fence sort of kind of in the middle of nowhere all by itself, no?
Through you, Mr. Chair, I'm going to ask Mr. Pellerin to provide your answer on this one.
Through the chair, valley lands are, you know, form part of the system the municipality is trying to acquire. We have acquired some lands in this system on the east side. And further to the south, those lands are fenced in fullness of time as not necessarily these ones, but other valley lands. We have created trail systems where we have not, or there has not been fences, such as a chain link fence dividing property limits from the open space. There has been encroachments and difficulties with some of the opportunities that the municipality has sought to create in terms of trails or other systems. And hence, there was a council direction years ago to fence all open space lands. And the four foot chain link fence is typically what's there so that it is not overly intrusive as opposed to the 6 foot chain link fence, which typically abuts parks.
So thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I was part of that council, and I recall exactly where it came about, which was in Curtis because of intrusion by the public. But this does seem to be sort of all by itself. Thank you.
Councillor Anderson.
Thank you, and through the chair. So you answered part of my question partially, but if there are a number of lots or land along this system that doesn't have a fence, why are these folks singled out that they have to have a fence while the surrounding lands, there's no fence?
So again, through the chair, as lands come forward with development applications, at that point in time, we request lands to be dedicated that are identified as part of the environmental protection system, and that's the natural features plus buffer. Our official plan requires a 15-meter buffer on the natural feature, which in this case would take it through the house. That didn't seem like a realistic or appropriate way to go, and hence it was the top of bank, and 6 meters was the recommendation. As other lands come on, they would be requested to dedicate lands if they're developing, dedicate the valley lands or open space lands, and fence those lands.
Thank you.
Okay, any other speakers? Councillor Hooper.
Yeah, looking at the pictures that we saw up there earlier, there was an existing fence that was there, correct? I believe, through you to Mr. Pellerin, I guess. Could the residents restore the fence that's there, like with the, or does it have to be of a specific nature? Like it was just a wire and post, I believe.
Through the chair, I'm guessing based on property limits that fence was up against the old Varco Road allowance that's there. The land that through the environmental impact study that was done as part of this application, then that the top of bank was further west on the property, and that was what was plus the report requested the top bank plus 6 meters. Council suggesting, and the memo today suggested just the 6 meters, and that would be the new property line, and therefore that's why the fence would be there.
So that's a no.
It wouldn't be demarcating a property limit, and that's the intent of the fence. Yep.
Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any other speakers? Councillor Jones, back to you.
Just one question that around the timing of this now, that the residents have really wanted this to be completed soon, and would there be anything else if this is approved tonight? Is there anything else that will hold that up for any certain amount of time?
So through the chair, if the zoning is approved tonight, there is an appeal period. I don't believe that the land division's been filed. I'd have to go back and check my notes, but if it was filed and this was simply a condition, which I don't think that was the case, so they would have to file the land division and get that approval. That's going to take a few months to get done. But what has been delays is from the original pre-consultation meeting, which was August 2017, to today has been preparing studies for a complete application, and then because through the environmental impact study, the wetland was suggested to be the location size of it was being questioned, and they needed the Ministry of Natural Resources to confirm that the new boundaries were appropriate, and that took an additional number of months. So from staff's perspective, no, there's we will continue to move this as quickly as we can, as we have all the documentation in front of us. And one other thing on that, the fence question, Councillor Hooper asked about maintaining that fence. That style of fence would certainly be acceptable if that was that style of fence that is existing along the new property line. That would be acceptable.
Okay.
Thank you.
So just to clarify, so under our official plan, Mr. Pellerin, municipality could say you need to dedicate to the top of bank plus 6 meters. Is that correct?
Through our official plan, it's actually the furthest extent of the natural feature, which in this case is beyond the top of bank, and it's actually plus 15 meters. The Conservation Authority had requested the minimum 6 meters from top of bank. That was considerably less than what our official plan would require, given the existing situation. We agreed that that was a reasonable approach. Still.
So we're scaling that back.
We scaled that back considerably from.
No, but I'm saying this motion scales it back even further to the top of bank. Right?
Correct. This okay. Motion scales it back further from what we've recommended, and definitely from what is required from our official plan.
And that split rail fence could be moved to the top of bank. That would be acceptable.
Yes,
I saw a picture of a split rail
that,
fence.
That type of fencing, you know,
okay.
In this situation, we could go with that form of fencing if that's what council prefers. Okay.
So I think, and thanks to Councillor Jones for all your work on with Mr. and Mrs. Powers. So call the question. All in favor? Anybody opposed? And that's carried. Thank you. So next delegate is Barry Ballahead. So just to Mr. and Mrs. Powers, we've dealt with your report, okay, and it's approved as moved by Councillor Jones, okay? Yeah, you can, there's some button there, some magic button.
Oh, the height button.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, good evening, Mr. Chairman, Councillor, staff. We are back here from the last council meeting when we had to suspend and push the amendment of 10 Victoria Street back to planning to get the recommendation. There's been a little bit of twists and turns, I believe, at this point. During the period of my offer from June until as of last Tuesday, they wouldn't give me an extension any further. But I'm just here to see if we can still get a deal done, even though I believe the gentleman after me also has a new offer on the property, I'm assuming with same conditions. But I believe Planet had prepared a new package, and I'm just hoping, well, it was kind of a curveball, really, so I'm not really sure what the standpoint is now. I've lost the deal, and a new gentleman has it, but this is where we are.
Okay. Any questions to the delegate? Mayor Foster.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sorry, so Mr. Ballahood, you're supporting. You're not involved in the property anymore, or won't be involved in the property, but you're supporting.
No, I won't be. Depending on this new offer that came in, I don't know if he doesn't pursue the property. As I had the original deal that I am walking from, I am then on the hook for it. I'm trying to avoid any sort of litigation. I'm just getting my ducks in a row, because if the gentleman doesn't close the deal, it comes back to me, if that makes any sense to.
Yes, it does, actually. Thank you.
Sorry.
Okay, any other questions? So I guess my question would be, do you have the the authorization at this point from the owner to speak on behalf of her or not, I guess? Or are you speaking on your own behalf?
I'm speaking, well, everything changed on Tuesday or Wednesday of last week, and
Are you able to say what happened? Like, the deal, did you get your deposit back, or did...
No deposit back. They went into...
Sir, can you sit down, please, if you don't mind? Because you don't have the floor. Okay, go ahead.
I believe that's the new gentleman who also has the offering on it, but on Tuesday of last week, they wouldn't give me an extension because we went till the 29th of March. They wouldn't give me an extension past that date. So at that point, they put the deal back up on the market, and there's been a new offer on the table. So this is where I stand now. It's kind of a mess, is really what I'm saying. I'm just waiting at this point for the outcome of the new offer, and if the outcome of the new offer doesn't close, if council will then approve 10 Victoria Street under my name to be on the exempt list. I know, that's confusing.
I guess so. I'm clear, though. I'm a little concerned if you're making a request for a property where you don't have the consent of the owner, because normally that's, you have the authorization of the owner to deal with any planning matter.
Correct.
So at this point,
I do have a form from the owner.
But is it expired or something? Or?
Okay, so Tuesday our deal expired. Wednesday I went to Dominican. 5 days, got back last night, found out there's another offer. I had it planned already to attend this meeting, and that's where I'm at.
So can you tell me what exactly happened last week then? You said Tuesday the deal expired, meaning did they send your deposit back?
They did not send the deposit back. The original purchase offer was in June, which you guys are aware of. Then it was supposed to close in August, got pushed to December, pushed to February, pushed to March, and now they won't extend any further. And I'm sure the gentleman who's going to speak next will know more about.
Was there correspondence between, are you able to say if there was correspondence between, or if you don't want to answer, that's fine, but was there anything indicating that the deal was terminated, like where it was accepted by you or not? Or you don't have to answer if you don't want to, like.
If the deal was accepted or not?
My question is, was there anything in writing where one party said the deal is over and the other party said, i.e. yourself, yeah, we agree it's over? Or did they say the opposite? In other words...
I asked for an extension. They would not give me an extension on the closing date. So their side has agreed to it. My side has not. But
I see.
Therefore,
okay.
It is terminated.
Well, that could be open to debate. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh.
So, I guess in terms of, do we have? Well, we went through that already, didn't we? I thought. No, I did. No, Madam Clerk, I did ask councillors if they wanted to ask questions. Yeah, we did. So. I'm just wondering if, do we need to move a motion on that now, or can we wait until later in the agenda, perhaps?
We don't need to do anything now.
Okay.
We'll deal with it later.
Okay, so the next delegate is Ken Hoy.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I come here as a purchaser under contract to buy 10 Victoria. It was offered to me last week. I have a conditional offer that is conditional until tomorrow. I spoke to the planning department. What I'm proposing is a two-lot bungalow, so two bungalows attached at the garage, more in keeping with the fabric of the community down there and less intense as what was proposed by the previous speaker.
Okay, any questions to the delegate? Mayor Foster.
Mr. Hoy, thank you. So your offer is conditional until tomorrow?
Correct.
I assume it's conditional on the decision that we make here at committee?
I would like to get your feelings about what you think of the proposed development and whether there would be, you know, upon further reflection, a willingness to comply with what I want to do.
So you understand that nothing that we do here tonight is binding until it goes to council. So
okay.
We can make a decision here.
Well, I would still, if it seems favorable and the winds are favorable, I will take that risk. I am a businessman and that's what I do.
All right, thank you.
Councillor Hooper.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, sir, for coming forward. In regards to this proposal, I guess this is it, correct?
Yes, that is it.
Will there be rental?
No, no, they would be single family homes, and there is quite a demand for a bungalow.
Right.
I build a lot of these. I don't know if you're familiar with my company and my Stonefield Homes. I built 17 lots on Holy Rod and Clarington. I built a house at 17 Waverly. There is a real demand for bungalow living. People my age, getting older, don't want to go upstairs, are downsizing, spend time in Florida.
I've been talking to my wife. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, and any other councillors? So, sir, I guess what I'm wondering, I mean, there's an interim control bylaw in place, and your application certainly, I mean, it goes without saying that you're just coming up with this now, right? Like,
just
this proposal now,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is well past the date that the bylaw was, the interim control bylaw was passed. So, is there any reason you can't buy the property, for example, and wait until
again,
the interim control
bylaw? Well, again, if you want to lend me the money, interest.
Can I finish my question? And wait until the expiry of the interim control bylaw and then be like everybody else where, you know, everybody else who owns or buys lots there will be, it'll be a level playing field. I'm like, why should we treat you specially at this point versus anybody else that owns property down there?
Can I ask you what were the concerns for the interim bylaw being imposed?
Character, compatibility of buildings that were being built there. So.
Okay, and then I'm suggesting that this character and compatibility is very in keeping with the interim bylaw or what your purpose was
imposing it. But my understanding of an interim control bylaw, the purpose of it is to freeze development until the expiry of, until something is done down there in terms of bringing in a new zoning bylaw or whatever. So I'm just wondering why we should treat this as a special case given the fact that you're just coming in now to buy the property, right? So you're well aware of the interim control bylaw.
Yes, I am aware of that.
So I'm just wondering, why should we give special treatment to yourself in that case?
So why were you giving special treatment to my previous speaker?
I don't think there was anything extended.
Okay.
There. So I think that's...
So why were you dealing with this on council?
So I'm supposed to be asking the questions. So,
okay.
So anyway, I that's all the questions I have. Thank you.
Okay, can you answer my question then, please?
No.
And why is that?
Because I'm the one that asked the questions here, so thank you very much. That's the way this format works, okay? So
this format works that way.
Yeah.
So
please take a seat.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, so 8.5 is Mr. Fry.
Good evening, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to speak this evening. I won't keep you long. I just wanted to provide the members of the committee an opportunity to ask any questions regarding our requested extension to the draft conditions of subdivision. My apologies. My name is Michael Fry. I'm a land use planner with DG Biddle and Associates, and I represent the owner of the property.
Okay, you're just looking for questions. Any questions from members of council? Mayor Foster.
I'm sorry, I have no idea which report or which property you're speaking to.
My apologies.
Okay, thank you. So Mr. Fry, this has dragged on. Your client is a fairly new purchaser of this, and one of the questions that I was going to ask of our staff, you know, if we included the word final in there, could you share your thoughts, a final extension, because there have been a few over the years.
Yes, through you, Mr. Chair, I agree that this extension has come up in the past on a couple of occasions, and both of those occasions, I will admit that staff's recommendation was that those extensions would be the final. We are into our third submission, and there are very minor changes which are required for the detailed engineering of the plan of subdivision, and we are